And let me first say welcome to anyone who might be visiting with us. We're glad you're here. Hope that you've been made to feel at home. I think the number I heard, Tom told me the number, I can't remember the exact number, it's like 92, 96, something like that, which is really good considering I thought we were going to have a really low crowd today because we've got 29 people right now on their way back from Winterfest. And so let me first say, please be in prayer for them. They are on their way back now, I would think. They should be about done. We talked to them for a little bit last night. They kept FaceTiming with Erica. Kids were waiting in line for food and not too pleased about it. But they seem to be having a very good time, and they said it's just been a great trip all around. So, but they are on their way back, so let's be in prayer for them. But it's just good to have so many people with us today. We have been working together through the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And we are coming real close to the end with this. We are looking at a characteristic today, and then we've got two more after this. And then we are going to be starting a new series, whatever the date is, 3 weeks from today. And I'm pretty excited about it. I'm not going to say too much about it quite yet. There will be some promo type material coming out here soon. But it's been a good time together going through this journey as to what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. Before we get too far into it, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Holy Father, we bow humbly before your throne of glory. And Father, we know that you are the creator of this world. And yet, at the same time, you have allowed for Satan to be the ruler of this world. And Father, we pray that as we live within this spiritual battle between good and evil, we pray that your Spirit will protect us. We pray that you will help us to live more and more in your Spirit every day, to constantly be keeping in step with your Spirit, so that as we do approach the evil forces around us, that you will still win, Father, that you will protect us from every side. Father, as we look this morning in your word about the fruit of the Spirit living within us and what it looks like for your people to walk daily with your Spirit, we pray that you will transform us through the things that we see in your Scripture. We pray that you will help us to be the people that you would have us to be so that we can look more and more like you every day. Father, we love you so much. It's through the name of your Son we pray. Amen. So Galatians chapter 5, we've been looking at this. This has kind of been our theme verse for the past several weeks. Verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And then skipping down to verse 22, Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and the one we are at today, the characteristic that we are at today, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, a few things that we've pointed out before, I want to point out again one more time, is that we're looking at what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. What Paul is saying is that these are all characteristics of one and the same fruit. And if we lack something within these characteristics, then in some ways we are somewhat incomplete in our walking in step with the Spirit. But what Paul also tells us that if we keep in step with the Spirit, then all of these things will become evident in our lives. Things that we tend to look at times and say, you know what, that's just not who I am. I'm just not made to be a very patient person. I'm not made to be a very joyful person, or I'm not made even at times maybe to be a very faithful person, a very faithful Christian. But yet what Paul shows us here is that if we've got the Spirit of God living in us, which we have been spending the past several months trying to prove and understand, if we've got the Spirit of God living in us, which we believe all Christians do have, then we have the fruit of that Spirit displaying from us. And people will see Christians who find themselves to be faithful. And I want to talk about that for several minutes together. What do we mean when we talk about this word faithfulness? You know, I think we see words like trustworthy. We see words like dependable or reliable or loyal. Not only do we see these words, but we see them as not something, they're not trustworthy some of the time. They're not loyal some of the time, but they are loyal all of the time. There's an unending factor to this. There's a story that's told about a man named John Kenneth Galbraith. He was a noted economist in the early 1900s who would be called by many dignitaries, many people of high positions to help sort out the economic market. And he wrote the following story about a time, he wrote about this in his autobiography, about a time and an instance he had with a certain housekeeper of his who went by the name of Emily. He said it had been just a very wearing day for him. He had done so many things and he was just tired, the type of tired that maybe we all feel at times where it just seems like we can't take on anything else. And he finally looked at his housekeeper, Emily, and said, "I want you to hold all of the telephone calls today. No matter who calls, I'm going to take a nap. I don't want to be interrupted." So he went to his bedroom, and he laid down to take a nap, and shortly thereafter, the phone rang. And Emily picked up the phone, and on the other end was the White House calling. It was Lyndon Johnson. And he said, "Get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson." And Miss Emily replied with, "Well, he's sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him." You can imagine maybe talking to the president in such a way and how that would go over. And so President Johnson said to Miss Emily, "Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him." And her response was, "No, Mr. President. I work for him, not for you." Mr. Galbraith said that when he called the president back, the president could scarcely control his pleasure. And he said to Mr. Galbraith, "Tell that woman I want her here in the White House." These are the types of things that we think of when we think of trustworthiness or dependability or reliability or being loyal or what it means to be faithful to someone or to something. But the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We read this verse, and we've talked about this idea that this is the Spirit living within us. And if we keep in step with the Spirit, then the nature of that Spirit will come out of us. The nature of the one living inside of us will come out of us. And I think that leaves us with two implications from this text. The first is this: God is faithful. God is faithful. And the second one is this: we are to be faithful. God is faithful, and we are to be faithful. Here's the question I want to start with. Is God faithful? Is God faithful? You see, I think that might be a tougher question than what we might want to admit. Something that we struggle with at times more than we might want to admit. We sit here amongst other Christians and the preachers just asked you if God is faithful, and there's a pretty obvious answer there. But what about when you go out and you begin to live life? Do you always believe that God is faithful? You see, we read verses like this, Hebrews 13, verse 5, where it says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Matthew 28, and verse 20, at the end of the Great Commission, Jesus said, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Romans 8 and verse 28, Paul wrote, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." These are the verses we have come to know and to expect. But if we're going to be honest with ourselves, sometimes as we walk this Christian life, we look out and we wonder, has God left us? Has God forsaken us? is God really with us? We look at the things of life and maybe encounter those times that we talked about it in class a little bit earlier, that the times when we hit the difficult parts of life and we wonder, is God really working all things out for good? And when we begin to question those things, begin to question if God is really doing those things, and the question that really becomes real evident in our minds is this: is God faithful? Is God who he said he would be? Who he says he is? I want to look at several verses together that first off hopefully will show us that God is in fact faithful. But I think there's just a very obvious argument against this, is that if the Word of God says that God is faithful, that makes sense because it's God's Word and God is going to proclaim himself as faithful. But just because the Word of God says that God is faithful, does that really mean that God is faithful? Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Deuteronomy chapter 32 verses 3 and 4, Moses has just led the people to the promised land. He's not going to be able to enter, and Joshua has just been made their leader, and Moses once again leads them in this great song, and in the middle of this song he says, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness, and without iniquity, just and upright is he." The Psalms just declare his faithfulness all throughout. Psalm 25 verse 10, "All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimony." Psalm 33 and verse 4, "For the Lord is upright and all his work is done in faithfulness." Psalm 36 and 5, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." Psalm 100 verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." The Psalms declare that God is faithful. When we get to the New Testament, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." And then in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 19, or 17 through 19, the Hebrew writer says, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." You see, what the Hebrew writer says is that God is unchangeable. God cannot lie. God is faithful. God is faithful. The question might become, yes, I know the Bible says that, but is God faithful? You see, I want to argue that God is in fact faithful, and we need to begin to look at God as the God that we are told about in the Bible, not the God that we have made up in our heads. You see, God is true. God is faithful to his nature. God is faithful to his promises. God is not bound to be faithful to my desires. God is not bound to be faithful to what I want God to be. God is faithful to his nature. And if God is faithful, then we are to be faithful. We are to be faithful. I want to look at a passage together. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. I don't have this up on the board, so if you'll open up your Bibles to Matthew 25, we'll read this together. We've come to know this as the parable of the talents. Jesus is bringing his disciples together, and he tells them this parable. And to kind of set the scene for you a little bit, what has been going on here is that Jesus has been telling his disciples that the end of time will in fact come. And he's talked a little bit about the signs of the end of the days, but ultimately has told them that nobody will know the time nor the hour when Christ will return. And then he goes on and he tells a parable of, of these 10 virgins, these 10 bridesmaids that are waiting for the bridegroom to appear for this great bridal party that is to take place. And he says that some of them were ready and prepared, and some of them weren't. And his whole point was that we are all to be prepared for the end of time, for when Christ will return. And all of that comes to this point here in Matthew 25 and verse 14, where he tells this parable of the talents. I'm reading from the New International Version, and it's talking about the parable of the bags of gold. He says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off. He dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 24, then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus tells this parable, this story, about what it's like when a master leaves, and he leaves various amounts of money with his servants, and he tells them to take care of it, to do good with it. His expectation is that he has given them something, has asked them to take care of it, and his expectation is they will be dependable in doing that. They will be faithful in doing that. And so when he returns, 2 of them come back and show them what they have brought back. And I want you to notice the point is not so much about their success. One brought back more than the other, and he even says that what he gave them was according to their abilities. But his point wasn't so much about success. He doesn't say, well done, good and successful servant. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And then he had the one who didn't do anything with the money except for take it and bury it in the ground because he was afraid. And it was that one who he came down hard on, that one who he cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There was no well done, good, and faithful servant to that man. You see, Jesus tells this story in the midst of telling people what it will be like when he returns. And what he says is, my expectation is that when I return, you will have been found faithful. You will have been found loyal. You will have been found dependable. God is faithful. We too are to be faithful. But here's the thing. It is really easy for us to be faithful in the times where we are clearly seeing God as being faithful. At times we tend to reflect what it is that we see. But what about the times when it's difficult to see the faithfulness of God? what about the times when we're looking at it and we're saying, you know, I just don't know that God is living up to who I thought he would be? Christopher Wright said this, following Jesus requires commitment and perseverance. It means denying yourself and taking up the cross. It is not for those who start out with enthusiasm, but then quickly turn back. It is not for those who are entangled with all kinds of other priorities. It is not for those who say, Lord, Lord, to Jesus, but never do what he says. It is not for those who want an easy road. You see, here's the thing. I think we find it easy to be faithful when the road we're walking down is an easy road to walk. But what about the times when it's not? What about when we read this verse and it says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. What if we're looking at it and we're saying, God, I don't know how this is good right now. I don't know how it is that you are working these things out for good. You see, I think when we read about a faithful God, we picture a God in our mind that's going to take all of the difficulties of life out of here. All the things that we don't want to deal with. That if God is faithful like he says he is, and if we are faithful like God wants us to be, then life's just going to be easy. That all things are going to work out together for good, my good. But he says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. We live in a very difficult world. We've been talking about this a good bit here lately in our class on Sunday mornings. We live in a world that's been created by God, but that has a ruler that is Satan. We live in a world where God is calling us to something greater, but in the meantime, we are fighting off the spiritual forces of this world. You see, there is something more to this world than the things that we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. There is something that is behind the curtain. There are evil forces at work in this world. And when we experience the evil forces at work, we begin to take our eyes off God and see the evil. And we wonder, God, are you really faithful? I mean, I've been faithful. We tell ourselves that at least. God, I've kept up my end of the bargain. Are you keeping up your end? Where are you in all? Like I said, I think at times when we think about the faithfulness of God, what we really want is the absolute removal of all things evil. And if that happens, then we will see God as faithful. But the same person who wrote that all things will work out together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, the same person who wrote that the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, and that if we keep in step with the Spirit, that we should, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The same person who wrote all of that also wrote this. Ephesians 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He's saying there are spiritual forces of evil in this world, and that's what we're fighting. We're not fighting a God who doesn't want to be faithful. God's on our side in this battle, and God is faithful. But we're still fighting against the evil forces in this world. And so he goes on, he says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. He says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here's the point that I want us to really see in this. We can talk about all these various parts of the armor of God. But look at this one at the beginning of this slide. He says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. He tells us, in all circumstances, be faithful. And we think that in all circumstances, if we are faithful, then life is going to be evil. But listen to what he says. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. He says, you're going to be faithful. The darts are still going to come. The evil one is still going to attack. But if we are faithful to the God who is faithful, then he'll extinguish those darts. He'll take care of the difficult times. If we live by the Spirit, and if we keep in step with the Spirit, then when people look at us, they're going to see the nature of the one who lives within us. The nature of God, the nature of a God who is faithful in all circumstances. And when we live out that faithfulness in our own lives, no matter what this world throws at us, God will be glorified. Because God is faithful. Sometimes that's hard to see. But God is faithful. You see, I think we need to at times remind ourselves of the stories of the faithfulness of God in the past, because sometimes it's easier to see God, the faithfulness of God in our rearview mirror, than it is to see the faithfulness of God in our headlights. And constantly throughout the Old Testament, God would tell the Israelites when they faced times where they saw the faithfulness of God, he would say, now take some stones and set up this memorial. And when you come to these stones and people say, hey, what are those stones about? You can tell them about the faithfulness of God. He said, never forget about the faithfulness of God in the past, because the faithfulness of God in the past is what's going to carry you through to be faithful to God in the future. God is faithful, always. And he calls us to walk in that same faithfulness. We have this verse that, I mean, we love it, we sing it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. It's this great verse talking about how God's love never ends. It's faithful love that we've just sang about a few minutes ago. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. His faithfulness is great. How many songs do we sing that we sing about the faithfulness of God and the hope that we can have in the faithfulness of God? And we read this verse and we expect it to be found in this tremendous psalm of praise that maybe David has written. We expect it to be a song that Moses sings after God has led the Israelites out of the wilderness. But where do we find this passage? It's when the Israelites are in the midst of all of this just terrible turmoil. They're experiencing all the difficulties of life. In the middle of this book that we call Lamentations, we see a man who we assume to be Jeremiah crying out to God about the difficulties of life, about how things aren't necessarily going how they expected it to be. And even though Jeremiah and the Israelites are having a hard time seeing the faithfulness of God, Jeremiah still leads them in song by saying, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, he says. In the midst of his turmoil, in the midst of the hard times, in the midst of when nothing was going good, he says, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. You see, what Jeremiah realized for him and for the Israelites is that if we want to walk forward faithfully to God and experience his faithfulness going forward, we need to constantly be reminded of the faithfulness of God in our past. The same God who is faithful to the Israelites when he said, I'll take you out of Egypt and I'll bring you to the promised land. And they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years and at various times said, it would have been better had we just stayed in Egypt and died. The same God who was faithful to them is the same God who's faithful today. Now that's going to be difficult for us to always necessarily walk firmly in. Being faithful to God is not always the easiest thing to do. Seeing God's faithfulness is not always the easy thing to do. But here's the point that I want to bring out. How many times did the Israelites just grumble and say, why did we come out here to the wilderness to die? It would have been better back in Egypt. How many times did they express doubt about God and his faithfulness? And yet God was faithful. It's okay to have doubts every once in a while. It's okay to wonder about where God is at times. You see, in the Bible, in life, we're told that the opposite of faith, the opposite of belief is doubt. But in the Bible, when God talks about the opposite of faithfulness, it's not doubt. In this passage that we read about the parable of the talents, the two that were faithful went out and did what God did, and the other one didn't have doubts about his master. The other one had fear. The opposite of doubt is fear. And in this world, it's okay for us to have some doubts about God every once in a while. But either way, God is calling us to walk boldly, to take bold, faithful steps for the God who has always been faithful, and not to have fear that the evil forces of this world are somehow going to take us over, that God is not going to be who he says that he is. You see, we do live in a world where we're fighting against the evil forces of Satan. But we live by the Spirit. We don't live by the evil forces of Satan. We live by the Spirit of the nature of the one who is faithful. And if we live by his faithfulness, we live by his Spirit, we don't have to walk in fear of what this world brings. Instead, we take our steps with the Spirit. And if we keep in step with the Spirit, we'll find ourselves to be faithful as well. This morning, we're going to offer an invitation. An invitation to step out and to put your faith, put your trust in a God who is faithful. You're not always going to see that. You're going to wonder about that at times. But it's okay. God will be faithful. And God will work all things out for good according to his purposes. All he calls us to do is to live by his Spirit. Live by his faithfulness, and take our steps boldly in step with the Spirit. And so if you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to accept the forgiveness of sins by putting Christ on in baptism and also accept the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're here to help you with that. If you need prayers because maybe you haven't been as faithful as you think you should have been because you've had a hard time seeing the faithfulness of God, let's pray with you. And let's get back in step. God's still there. Let's just get back in step with them. So if you need prayers, we'll be ready up front. We've got elders who will greet you in the back, whatever it is you need. But if we can help you in any way, Carson's going to lead us in a song. Let's stand together and sing. And if you need to respond, now's your time.
Salvation.